Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Vayeshev Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Vayeshev. Our Aliyah runs from Perek Lamentos Pasuk Zayin to Pasuk Chof Gimel, 17 Pesukim in all, and the topic is avoiding seduction. Let's take a look at the contents, and then we'll try to get a sense of some questions and deeper understanding. So we hear that Yosef is very successful in his master's house, and after all this is going on, the wife of Potiphar, this minister of Pharaoh, sets her eyes upon Yosef, and she starts making demands of him. And he refuses to acquiesce to her seductions, and she would continually come to him day by day and ask him to spend time with her, and he refuses. He gives the rationale. He says he refuses, and he explains that I'm loyal to my master, and my master has given me everything in the house under his control. That does not include his relationship, his intimate relationship with his wife, and by doing so, I would be sinning to God. But one day comes the day, there's nobody else at home, he goes into the house, and she is there. She grabs his coat, and she says, "Lie with me, shichva'imi," and he leaves his coat in her hands and runs and gets outside. When she sees that this is the situation, then she calls out loudly and she tells to the whole house staff, "Look, you brought this Hebrew slave, and he is trying to abuse me. When I called out, he ran and he left his coat in my hands." Then she waits for her husband, the master of Yosef, to get home, and she explains that Yosef had made an attempt to rape her, to be with her, and the master hears all of this and takes Yosef. He gets angry and he takes Yosef and he puts him into the Beis HaSoar, into the jail, the place where the Asiria Melech or Asurim, where the kings jailed individuals are put. And it turns out that Yosef once again rises to the top. Hashem is with him. The Sar Beis HaSoar, the person in charge of the prison system, sees how responsible Yosef is, and he allows Yosef to be in control of everything in that domain, because Hashem makes him successful wherever he goes. A few basic points to ponder. Number one is that you'll see that the note, the cantillation on the word Vayemo'en, and he refused, which is when he was refusing these bids from the wife of Potiphar in Pasuk Ches, has a very unusual trop. This cantillation is called a shalsheles, a chain, which it goes backwards and forwards in notes. Vayemo'en, he refuses. Why is that the note that is on this? So the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Ber Ditchov, explains that it is because it is the kol ko adam asher memaes bedavar, umerim kol b'miyus sadavar. It's an expression of revulsion. His inner persona, his character is revolting over this immorality. And this is his natural state, which is expressing itself outwards. The Shemesh Shmuel takes us one step further to explain that the way that a person succeeds against these kinds of temptations, immoral temptations in their life, is not intellectual engagement at first. It is the visceral reaction. A person needs to scream out, run out, disappear, don't get involved. That's the first idea. Scream out that a person should not get involved in this activity as well. And this, perhaps, he says, is the notion of the bundle of Yosef's straw, of his grain, that we hear about in the dream in the beginning of the parasha of Parshas Vayeshev, that it stood up, remained resolute. Yosef's character always pointed true north. And so this was his struggle, this was his expression. Before he goes on to explain to her logically, he will scream out that he's not going to do that. Now, Jonathan Sachs points out, quoting Rabbi Yosef Ibn Kaspi, one of the earlier commentators, that the idea of a shalsheles, in the way it's actually written in the notes of cantillation, is a zigzag. It goes backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards to indicate the idea of struggle, to indicate the notion that a person is not able to make an easy decision. And so this is expressing the struggle, the inner struggle of his temptations versus the struggle of his morality and his moral compass. We see this another three times in Tanakh, where we also hear about Lot, where Lot is struggling to leave the cities of Sodom, and it says he tarries, that there's a note of the shalsheles there because of his struggle. to know, he knows what's best, but he feels something else. Avram's servant Eliezer, when he is by the well, and we understand that he has a daughter who he really wants to marry Yitzchak, but he is trying to fulfill his master's bidding, so there's that personal struggle. And later on, when Moshe brings, or Aaron brings, it's the last korban Moshe is bringing in the slaughtering of the ram in Parshas Tzav, when he is giving over the kahuna, the priesthood, to the Aaron, that also is an internal struggle as well. So perhaps another perspective on the same idea. Now, why is Yosef referencing Elohim, God, in this whole explanation when he's talking to her? So the Torah explains that one possibility is he's appealing to universal morality, meaning to say there are the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and one of them is Gilui Arayos, illicit relationships. And he's saying to her, we're both bound by the same universal law. We cannot do this. Another possibility is that he is appealing to the fact that first he talks about her husband and the moral responsibility in marriage. And number two, then he talks about the moral responsibility to God, because some people relate more to one than to the other. Now, why was no one in the house that day? So the Bechor Shor of Yosef Bechor Shor explains that circumstantially, there's always going to be a day like that where there's just, you know, nobody's around, and this kind of thing can happen. Rashi says, no, it was actually a day of their festival, Yom Tzchok Yom Eid Shelohem. It was a festival, a pagan festival, and she feigned illness, saying she needs to stay at home in order to facilitate this. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch points out that this is also a guilt which is being laid upon the shoulders of Yosef, for the very simple reason is, never should a person put themselves in an area of temptation saying that they will overcome it when they get there. Yosef, knowing that there's this complicated woman in their life, in his life, in his master's life, should never go into the house alone with her, even with the most moral upstanding compass and resoluteness, which he does have. That's what's being said over here. It's worthwhile noting, as an interesting aside, that the Midrash in Esther Rabbah makes a very fascinating parallel. The Midrash says, "Vayhi ka'amram elav yom yom v'yom." This is referring to the situation in which the servants of Achashverosh are telling Mordechai to bow down to Haman. And the language used over there is as they were saying to him on a day-to-day basis. Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Binyamin ben Belevi, and he says, "Boner shel Rachel nison shave v'gudulason shave." That their tests were similar and their success was similar. The test was in the Vayika Dabro El Yosef Yom Yom. As Ashes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, tries to make these bids for Yosef on a daily basis, and still he prevails. Similarly, as the servants of Achashverosh Shalom prevail upon Mordechai to bow to Haman. This sets up a very, very fascinating observation, which can be expanded more. That Rabbi Forman has an entire series on this particular topic of the understanding Megillas Esther in the context of the Ashes Potiphar and the Potiphar situation. Perhaps the loyalty of Yosef over here is the loyalty to Potiphar and to Hashem. Mordechai's loyalty is loyalty to Hashem, and interestingly enough, Achashverosh over Haman, who's making a power grab. Fascinating observation which can be learned through understanding our Aliyah properly. Another question, where did Yosef get the fortitude to withstand such temptation? How could he under such circumstances? Nobody would have known. How did he manage to, where were the wellspring of resilience to make that decision to run away? So Rashi says that he saw a vision of his father, Demus Diyunkoi Shel Aviv, that he saw an imagery of his father, and that imagery of his father reminded him that his father's posterity and longevity and legacy was dependent on all the children being in the fold, and if he had gone through this action, he would have been out of the fold. He would have left the morality of his father, his father's tradition, behind. Rav Kook explains that that's the difference between Yosef and Yehuda. Yehuda, in order to succeed, needs to be insulated, needs to have a place where the children are like the children of Leah, like being the children of Leah herself is Alma des Kasi, the closed and the covered world, needs to succeed insulated. Whereas Yosef understands, and his ideology is to succeed integrated into the society around him with his values still strong. That can only work out with one condition, that is that you, as long as you're within eye range of the tradition, you can see the traditions that you hold strong in order to be able to succeed in all situations. Rav Kook actually goes so far as to say that the Mishnah in Zvachim tells us there was a difference between the Mishkan Shiloh, the Mishkan which resided in Shiloh, which was in the territory of Yosef for 369 years, and the Beis Olamim, the Migdash, which was in the area of Yehuda. Why? The idea of kochim kalim, lower grade holy meat, in the Beis HaMikdash could only be eaten within the wall of Yerushalayim, whereas by Mishkan Shiloh, the kochim kalim, the lower grade holy sacrifices could have been eaten b'chol aroya, on any adjoining mountaintop, as long as they're within eyesight of Shiloh. Yosef's idea is you can succeed as long as you have eyesight on the goal and the vision of what you're supposed to be part of. That was what Yosef's success was. Ironically, both Yehuda and Yosef were taken into very difficult situations. Both had temptations in a relationship which they should not have been involved with. And Yehuda does not prevail. Yosef does prevail. Yosef is able to succeed in such an environment. One last point is why is this the particular prison that he was chosen to be put in? So that Barbanel points out that really Potiphar really liked Yosef, and as difficult a man as he was, chief executioner, he still had a heart for Yosef, and that's why it says that he himself took Yosef. He didn't hand him over to the police. He himself took him, and he didn't put him into the regular jail, which has regular thieves and murderers, but rather he put him into the jail of the king, where there were white collar offenders, people perhaps of political dissidents, but people of a higher standing in society because of his care for Yosef as well. With this, we close the Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.